Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
The phrase that we've said here before on Dog Nation Daily that we really like from a lot of the Georgia recruits, it's been true for the 2018 class, the 2017 class, it's become almost like a catchphrase of so is the notion of we ain't done yet, we're not finished yet, we're going to keep adding guys to this class. And over again, that was the promise from guys like, say, Richard LeCount and Jake Fromm from 2017, and it proved to be true over and over again. The same thing true here in 2018 as well. I think one of the most recent guys that I saw put this on Twitter may have been Trey Hill, the four-star offensive lineman, talking about the work that Georgia was still going to kind of go out there and get done in recruiting, even as it was amassing the number one class in the country throughout the start of Wednesday's early signing period. And sure enough, Georgia not done yet. Picking up Luke Ford yesterday, we'll talk about that more in a moment. But it's the notion of who might still yet be to come, which is actually the place where I want to begin this program here today, and the possibility that Georgia may be going to Alabama's coffers for another name here before it is all said and done. I thought that Chris Kirshner wrote some really interesting things at SECCountry.com, and it sets us up for a discussion about four-star linebacker Quay Walker, who at one point in time was considered to be connected to Georgia, but committed to Alabama, and here's where things kind of get interesting. Kirshner writing yesterday for SEC Country that SEC Country was notified on Tuesday that Georgia was working hard to push through its school application in order to have the paperwork ready to go on Wednesday. This is all for Quay Walker, so he could sign early. Walker didn't sign with Georgia or any school on Wednesday, but hearing that the Bulldogs were trying to make that happen is definitely something that caught my attention, Kirshner writes. He goes on to say that Quay Walker, the four-star linebacker from Crisp County, told SEC Country before defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt left for Tennessee that he would decommit from the Crimson Tide if Pruitt left. Shortly after Pruitt was announced as the Vols coach, Alabama defensive backs coach Derek Ansley, who was Walker's primary recruiter, had an in-home visit with Walker, who told SEC Country that he was locked in with the Crimson Tide. So that's a lot to digest from Chris Kirshner. A lot of evidence to suggest that the Walker relationship was shaky with Alabama, saying he'd decommit if Jeremy Pruitt ever left. Pruitt does leave, then Derek Ansley makes the in-home visit, where at that point in time, maybe Walker said all was good with the Crimson Tide, but Georgia clearly thought it had something going on there, because according to what Chris Kirshner learned, Georgia was working on getting that paperwork ready, so Georgia could be ready to accept him as a student if he was ready to roll with the Georgia in the class of 2018. Obviously, the talent here with Quay Walker is unquestioned, and at one point in time, going back, you know, a year or so ago, it was seeming like he was a strong Georgia lean. As I think Jeff Sintel wrote at DogNation.com, wouldn't it be interesting if all this kind of comes full circle here with Walker a year ago connected to Georgia and then after really spending the last year not even connected to Georgia at all, where he'd end that way for the class of 2018. There is a lot to unpack here when it comes to something like this, and this will be one of those stories that I would imagine we are following, you know, not just through Friday, but probably all the way through February and the actual old school signing day that's been in place in college football for quite some time. If Georgia were to get Walker, I don't think there's any way that you could describe this as anything other than a major blow to Alabama to have Georgia go, you know, head to head and win for Brenton Cox, take Nadab Joseph from Alabama on Wednesday at the start of the early signing period. I don't care what Alabama says. That is what I believe happened. And then if it were to happen with Quay Walker here again as well, it'd be a bit of a body blow from Kirby Smart towards his old boss, Nick Saban. Now, for what it's worth, Saban was in full spin mode, I think, on Wednesday when he described his own class. And according to Saban, all is fine, no matter what the current recruiting rankings might say. Here is Nick Saban, and see if you pick up what I pick up from him. Maybe, and listen, there is a very good chance I'm reading way too much into this. And there is a very good chance that maybe I want this to be true more than it actually is true. But listen to see if you notice what I detect as a hint of defensiveness a bit from Nick Saban about the early signing period for Alabama in comparison to Georgia. Here's Saban.
From a recruiting standpoint, you know, this is all kind of new for us. But the early signing period, I guess, is some kind of an indication of what kind of recruiting that you're doing. We're very pleased and happy with the 15 players that we were able to sign to Alabama today. I think there's a lot to do to finish this class, and we can only take 23 guys this year, so we basically have 8 spots left.
So that is Nick Saban weighing in on that. And you hear what he says there? He says, you know, I guess the early signing period is some sort of reflection of what going of what's going on, some sort of window into what's going on with Alabama. In other words, hey, don't judge us on what's happened here in these first few days. You know, wait till you get to February to fully make the impression on what's going on right here. And obviously, he is in sort of an uncomfortable, a little bit different kind of position than he's been in the past, having to look up at Georgia as opposed to looking down on the rest of the SEC to a certain extent. That's a different kind of position for Alabama to be in. And as I said, maybe this is something I want to be true more so than it actually is true, but you almost hear that sort of hint of defending why Alabama's not ranked as the SEC's top class, and for right now not ranked as the country's top class either. I guess another question you have to ask is Georgia's pursuit of Quay Walker. What would this mean for what's going on with Otis Reese, another linebacker from down in Lee County, a guy that's been connected to Georgia for some time and on Twitter recently was wearing that Michigan gear once again? That's the spot where he's committed. But what does that mean for him in that regard? I think that's one of those things you sort of have to kind of wait and see on here as well. Both Walker and Reese are obviously elite talents, and one way or another, the one thing that we know from Kirby Smart in Georgia is that he's going to be working hard to, whether it's Reese, whether it's Walker, whether it's, you know, the five-star quarterback Tyson Campbell, there are still some more big names looking to be added to Georgia's class before it's all said and done. Here's Kirby Smart.
There's still spots left, and I think you're always recruiting. I mean, we're going to be trying to recruit the rest of the spots, and there's going to be some really, really probably intense battles come January, because the guys that are left are targeted by all the top programs. So there's going to be some guys out there that we still go after. So it's not like you can say, okay, relax, we're done, because that's not the case. We got work to do in recruiting.
So I guess we had a special guest visitor in our comments section a moment ago. For those of you who are watching us on Facebook Live, you know what I'm talking about. Obviously, George is looking to add some big-name guys right now, and I guess they're also looking to kind of check in and see on how the rest of the Georgia class is kind of coming together here. So pretty fun stuff there in that regard. And I think, you know, most people are going to take Kirby Smart at his word when he says that, you know, Georgia's not going to rest on its laurels and sort of sit back and say, hey, look what we brought in on Wednesday. We're all done. No, Georgia's still going to keep adding some of those big-name players. A lot of you have thoughts and suggestions on who that might be. And even on Thursday, we saw an example of that as well, as Georgia adds the four-star tight end Luke Ford into the mix here. So Kirby Smart proving what's true, that being number one for right now is only important if you stay there when it's all said and done. And so whether it is Quay Walker, who you can tell from our comment section, a lot of Georgia fans would really like to see part of the 2018 class, or a guy like Otis Reese, or as I mentioned, Tyson Campbell, the five-star cornerback. No matter who it is, Georgia is still looking to add a whole lot more talent to this 2018 class before it is all said and done. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Thanks so much for being with us. We are glad you're here. Whether you're watching us on video, of course, in the morning on Facebook Live, we're always thankful to have you at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page. No radio for us today. We're off of the radio a lot this week. I guess we were on the radio yesterday, but not on the radio today or Monday or Tuesday. But we'll be back again on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref next week. They've had some basketball conflicts that have kind of preempted Dog Nation Daily for right now. It's a great time for you to listen to the podcast then. If you're normally a radio listener, of course, any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, Dog Nation Daily is a podcast, very on-demand feature for you. You can kind of check it out anywhere, and we're glad you found us here on Dog Nation Daily. We'll do a lot of recruiting on today's show. Welcome in Jeff Sintel here in just a moment. Of course, before that, we also keep our attention on the Rose Bowl coming up on January the 1st. I'm heading out to Pasadena next week. Excited about bringing Rose Bowl coverage to you here on Dog Nation Daily. And, of course, part of that for us is going to be our Simply Smarter game planning, brought to you by Aldi, the supermarket that's the home of Simply Smarter Shopping. And some people in our comment section recently have said that they wanted to get a little more information about what Oklahoma brings to the table for Georgia in that game coming up on January the 1st. So on Monday's show, it's a Christmas Day show. We will not be on video for Christmas Day, but we will have a podcast, audio only for us, on a Monday on a Christmas Day. And we're going to have John Shin on, who does a great job covering the Oklahoma Sooners for our sister site, diehards.com. He covers this. He's a longtime guy covering Oklahoma. He does it now for the brand new diehards.com. We get into a really interesting discussion about Oklahoma and what Georgia fans already know about the Sooners, what maybe they need to know, what maybe they think they know that's wrong. John's a great guy to kind of give you some intel on that. And one of the things that John's going to bring up in the interview that you'll hear on Monday that I thought was really interesting is that Oklahoma doesn't play as fast anymore as Georgia fans are maybe used to seeing them play. You think about the Big 12, you know, offenses that run a million plays and you know, very more finesse than physical, kind of stay away from that. Oklahoma, as Shin is going to point out in our interview on Monday, is actually a lot less like that now than they used to be. And I went and did some research. The numbers actually back up what John Shin told us, that Oklahoma this season in college football was just 77th in the country in terms of plays per game. They averaged 70.7 plays per game. That's nearly five full plays fewer per game than Oklahoma in 2016. Now, a lot of this is about the transition to the really good offensive line led by Orlando Brown, the really good running game led by Rodney Anderson. And in a way, it almost seems like this Oklahoma offense is a bit like, I hope this is not an unfair or incorrect comparison, but maybe a little bit like what the Alabama offense came to be like with Lane Kiffin as offensive coordinator. You know, you do have some spread concepts, but you also make some room for some power running as well. That is one of the things I think that makes Oklahoma a pretty tough offense to deal with, is the fact that it's more than just those spread concepts. You've got some power running in there as well, and Oklahoma's playing a little slower because of it. But in this case, slower probably doesn't make them worse. In this case, slower may make them a little bit more dangerous. So that's an example we'll be doing all next week in Pasadena, California. It's our Simply Smarter game planning brought to you by Aldi, the home of Simply Smarter shopping. And make sure you celebrate the holidays with a delicious meal, bubbly, or spirits, your favorite company. Stop in today for everything you need to create a magical holiday soiree. Simply Smarter shopping at your local Aldi. All right, we'll get Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. Before that, do want to update you on a story that we have been talking about a lot here over the last few days. That's what's gone on with Nate Trespatrick. And of course, there are new developments, new news to get to here as a setup for what we now know about Patrick. Let's hear one more time what Kirby Smart said about his linebacker earlier in the week.
I'm sure most of you guys are aware, and everybody wants to know and talk about the Natrez and Jason Stanley situation under university and athletic association policies. Both those guys remain part of the team and eligible to practice. And as we always talk about disciplinary matters, they're handled internally. So we make disciplinary decisions based on our policies. And the September revisions to the substance abuse policy had no impact whatsoever on the situation. So we're following our policies without any exceptions and without regard to the players involved or where we are in the season. And the Athens-Clarke County situation, you know, with Natrez is a separate matter, and we'll address it according to our policies once it's resolved.
Separate matter are going to be addressed at the time, and apparently now some of that has been dealt with, not by Georgia, but by apparently the attorney for Natrez Patrick. Let me read a couple sentences from DogNation.com. Seth Emerson writes that Georgia starting linebacker Natrez Patrick has resolved his probation violation case stemming from a drug arrest and entered inpatient treatment. The quote here from the attorney for Natrez Patrick here is that I believe he should still be on the team. We're hoping for a full recovery and a good season next year. So the bottom line here is because of this treatment, and I guess this is a condition of the probation issue based on the way that I just read that from DogNation.com. You can go to DogNation.com, read more of the details of the story yourself. But according to this, that treatment will prohibit Patrick from playing in the Rose Bowl. He'll enter that treatment, and the attorney for Patrick going to make a case for him sticking with the team and being a part of the team in 2018. I think this may be pretty close to the perfect resolution based on the very limited amount of information that I have on this situation. I do think that Natrez Patrick is better off having football in his life, and I do think him seeking treatment right now, based on my understanding of this, is probably the right thing for him to do. So this may be a situation in which all this is going to probably work out the way that it's supposed to, and I guess that's probably good news both for those that care about Natrez Patrick, which is all of my audience, and obviously those that want to see the best for that young man in the future. So that's the update on that. A lot to get to now with Georgia recruiting. Chasing down Quay Walker for this class of 2018. Dog fans want to know about that. Adding Luke Ford, everything else in between. Let's talk to Jeff Sintel about it right now. Good to have you with us.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And I'll say hello to Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily. Good enough to join us now for what may be a record of three times in 1 week, back-to-back days for him. But listen, when you got as much going on with recruiting as Georgia does right now, you want to you want to get the information straight from the source's mouth. So, Jeff, we appreciate you being back with us here, again here today.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, man. No problem. It is quite the early signing period for all Georgia fans. And there's this noise with Quay Walker, and yes, there is something there. But I've got a very pressing question for your audience right now, Brandon.
Please, ask away.
One, do you wrap your packages, or do you drop it in a bag with all that little foofy paper around it? Dog Nation needs to know this stuff.
So I have gotten a lot better about wrapping gifts here the last couple of years. I used to be the worst in terms of, like, wrapping gifts for my wife, something like that. It almost like a piece of like abstract art by the time I was done with it. I've actually gotten a little more symmetrical with my, you know, the trick is how you cut the tape, you know, on the one end of the box after you've kind of like, you know, folded the other part over. That's the trick. And I've sort of learned how to do that a little bit better. I'd actually say that I've become at least a 2-star gift wrapper. I may be a low 3-star. I may be, a low 3-star gift wrapper these days.
So you think you signed with Toledo or Ball State or Miami of Ohio this week in terms of your gift wrapping scholarship?
Yeah, that may be about what I'm able to pull there. Yeah. So, how about yourself? I mean, how would you rate your gift wrapping skills?
Oh man, I'm definitely better at covering recruiting and your reporter, hopefully, than gift wrapping. I got this thing with the triangles that I can go to. Sort of helps me out on the corners. I use way too much tape. I need sometimes that double-sided tape wherever I can see that. That also works very well. And but I will say that major props to all the people that do that. And especially, I remember growing up, I tried to run the 40 when I opened my presents. Tried to do it in about 4.6 seconds, and I see a lot of my kids that still try to do the same. So that is a very, very underappreciated art and skill, especially for the families that are doing that today, tomorrow, the next day. All these recruits are doing pretty well. Might be some time after today to start thinking about, start thinking about that stuff. And the real season's greetings right now, because Georgia has just obliterated the early signing period.
So you will be happy to know, Jeff, that the trash talk for the Rose Bowl is out in full force already. I said I was a 3-star gift wrapper. Chad Williams in the comments section, he's watching this on video right now. He says, well, if you're a 3-star, then you could play for Oklahoma. So there's a lot of that trash talk already getting started between Georgia and Oklahoma here. We're still a few days away from January the 1st, but Dog fans getting their game face on, Jeff.
If I wanted to lose my spot on the nice list, which I don't, I would say something like, well, man, if you're a 3-star in the gift wrapping department, you can go play defensive back or linebacker for a Big 12 team, man. That's what we could do right there, right?
That's exactly right. Luke Ford is added to Georgia's class on Thursday. And I saw – I'm going to butcher this stat, but ESPN Stats and Info had it, and they're obviously using their own recruiting rankings. But he's only Georgia's 10th highest rated recruit according to the ESPN data. But I believe he would rank, according to ESPN, as the number one recruit for like 111 college football programs. That gives you an idea of just how, you know, rich Georgia's class has been. But there is a lot to like about Luke Ford. Your thoughts on Georgia adding another very good player, a tight end here that had really been on a lot of Dog fans' wish lists for months and months.
Oh, yeah. You should get excited and giddy about Luke Ford, because, like, you're going to put him next to John Fitzpatrick, and that's going to be 6'6" and a half and 250 and about 6'7" and about 240. And those guys have great hands. They're really sharp, intelligent guys, really, really tough guys too. Maybe some of my favorite stories about Luke Ford, you know, comes from a great family. His dad flew Apaches, served in Iraq. He was initially supposed to be named Luke Skywalker Ford until his mother, Lisa, threw a 15-yard flag on that.
Are you serious? His name was going to be Luke Skywalker Ford? Do you know how awesome that would be?
Yep, his middle name was going to be Luke Skywalker. I mean, his family are huge Star Wars fans. But mom, maybe, like moms and wives are known to do, they kind of try to reel back the testosterone a little bit with all of us, and with good reason, good yin and yang stuff right there. The other thing about Luke Ford is this guy's tough. He says what he thinks. I think of him a lot like a Gronkowski type guy. Big weapon, big hands, really tight with Justin Fields, and the toughness factor. One of our Dog Nation viewers, I was so proud of them, because they started looking at film, maybe the way scout does, maybe the way a coach does, maybe the way an analyst does. Because the thing about Luke Ford's film, if you watch him, he's very physical, and he's also does not like being taken to the ground. You see so many films and watch so many guys, you look for things that just kind of pop out at you. Even on plays where, like, Luke Ford's being taken out of bounds, he's not letting anybody take him off his feet. The other huge thing to know about Luke Ford is he's also a package. His older brother, Noah, is going to be a preferred walk-on at fullback. Those two guys are going to play together. But the Ford tough metaphor can only be carried out by listening to this story. Week one, week two, his shoulder, sternum area was bothering him. He kind of laughed it off and thought, hey, it's football. I'm not going to talk to anybody in week one or week two about anything hurting me. It's a long season. He kept going with it. Eventually, after about 4 weeks, he went and checked with his doctors, and they said, congratulations, Luke. You had a cracked clavicle or a fractured clavicle, but now you've continued playing with it, and it's broken all the way through. I think he sat on the DL for about 4 to 5 weeks. And then he returned to play in his final game of the season in the playoffs for the Cartersville Lions. So he's a U.S. Army All-American. He's going to do that to honor his father. And, I mean, that's just – I mean, we're in a world, Brandon. You know, those stats do make a lot of sense. But we're in a world, Brandon, where I think Georgia now has 9 or 10 of the top 50 players in the country for 2018. Pretty staggering when you look at things and you go, okay, Georgia could possibly have a fourth or 20% at least of all the 5 stars in the country when everything is said and done. And Georgia also has in a culture now, if you look at the top 100 players in the country, 72 of them are either signed or committed. And there's not a lot of pickings left for those remaining elite guys. And Georgia just took another one of those guys off the board.
Yeah, that's really well said, Jeff, and an incredible synopsis of all of that. And, of course, now a lot of Georgia fans are already thinking about, okay, so who's next? What's going to happen next here? And one of the names that does come up based on some of the online chatter, including from, you know, what you've written, what Chris Kirshner, SEC Country, has written, this notion that Georgia's working hard to flip Quay Walker, the 4-star linebacker from Crisp County, to Georgia from the Crimson Tide. I mean, how real is this right now? I mean, how much true actual fire is there to go around what would appear to be a decent amount of smoke?
Well, there's more than smoke, and I think that smoke's been around for at least since the Kentucky game. That's when Clay Walker came to Georgia on an unofficial visit. He basically got the red carpet treatment from the Bulldogs. I remember him being in the scrum where there was Kevin Shear, Mel Tucker, the director of Georgia on-campus recruiting, and Kirby Smart's wife, all talking to Quay Walker at once. Quay Walker was digesting it, taking it all in. Of course, he knows what Georgia has built right now, and there is the skinny on that situation where Georgia is trying to get his transcript through the admissions process where he can actually enroll early. So you've got a lot of situations with this early signing period, how Georgia is not just flipping guys. They're going ahead and offering guys the chance to enroll early and finish this recruiting and get on campus before really the other school and the recruiting industry can take him off the other school's board that he was committed to. And in this case, we have to remember this one big glaring fact right now is Quay Walker is still currently committed to Alabama.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What would it mean for Georgia? I mean, another name that's kind of out there is Otis Reese. And, you know, Reese has been to Georgia a bunch, but, you know, been on social media wearing the maize and blue again here as of late. Is this an either-or situation with Quay Walker and Otis Reese? Is this one of those deals where first guy in would get that spot? Or, you know, I'm assuming there's not room for both these linebackers here. I mean, what does the presence of Quay Walker potentially mean for Otis Reese also?
Well, I personally think it's one or the other because Georgia still needs to add a receiver, still needs to do something at the defensive tackle spot. The one thing with a Quay Walker move and then maybe continued interest in Otis Reese is it would just about signal that those four gentlemen that are currently committed to Georgia, Aaron Brule, Tramell Walthar, Rashad Wildgoose, those four guys are, and Jordan Davis, let's not forget Jordan Davis, definitely, who had told reporters at the Shrine Bowl last week that he was planning to sign with Georgia this week. Something is amiss right there. Those four guys would be definitely precarious in order to join the class. Another thing to consider there is you've got to remember now, Isaac Taylor Stewart's still out there, and Tyson Campbell is still out there. Isaac Taylor Stewart sent out a really heart-filled eyeball emoji tweet yesterday, even tagged Justin Fields in there about how really nice, kind of like in that Randy Quaid voice, Georgia's recruiting class was looking for 2018. So, it's almost like Scrooge time, man, with his class and everything else. Kind of just waiting for the GIFs to show up, or the way other people can call it, the GIFs to show up on social media with, like, maybe Kirby eating the popcorn and it looking something like Scrooge or something like at the same time, man. That's Georgia. I think I said this a while back. It seems like Georgia is getting everybody, and you're going to have to add a lot of R's into that everybody quote script there to make sure you get it right.
So it sounds like also, you know, I was going to ask you, okay, what is the definitive number of guys that Georgia's going to be able to sign here before we're all done? But, you know, with, as you mentioned, the uncertain status of Jordan Davis, maybe some of the other, current UGA commits, I guess there is still some room for that number of actual final signees to still fluctuate somewhat, right?
Yeah, because remember, Terrell Mount, I told everybody yesterday on I think it was yesterday. Yeah, we did our Wednesday night live on Thursday. Told everybody that Tramell Walthor still indicates to me that he plans to sign on the traditional old school signing day on February the 7th. There's also the rampant things going on about Georgia trending and trying to get in the mix with the nation's number two defensive tackle this year, a prospect that really didn't really show up on the board for a lot of Georgia guys until really just recently. And Georgia is, you know, that's the one thing. If you have to sit there and say, okay, my job is to be critical, and my job is to definitely look at what Georgia does not have scattered, smothered, and covered, capped, diced. I think I know all my Waffle House. Brandon, you're the expert there, but I think that's all the toppings possible we can put on the hash browns platter. But that's about the only thing if you had to look at it. You can't really speak too critically about quarterback because they do have Fromm. They do have Fields, but you got to sit there and go, even though Devontae Wyatt is on campus and now practicing, you got to think about where's the beef at defensive tackle, because Michael Thompson is now being pursued, who would be the nation's number two defensive tackle. He's out of St. Louis, Missouri. You've also got him to think about. Tramell Walthor is kind of a question mark. Jordan Davis is kind of a question mark as well. And it's the way the thing goes, man. I find it oddly curious to see that the remaining people that Georgia has commitments from that they have not signed yet are ironically some of their lower rated recruits, lower rated commitments on the board. That's just something to think about there. There's a lot of other factors about why. There's one big factor about what might be another reason why these guys are currently not signed yet. But it is not the time to talk about that just of yet.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jeff. And by the way, you are making a lot of our audience very happy mentioning Michael Thompson. That's a name, as I've been watching the comment section on video, as we kind of roll along here, a lot of folks were wanting me to ask you about Thompson. You kind of addressed that on your own there. That's the sort of ESP you seem to have with a lot of the Dog Nation recruiting followers there, and you've addressed that. That's a big name that a lot of Georgia fans very quickly have acquainted themselves with and very quickly have decided they'd love to see a part of this 2018 class. But there'll be plenty of time to talk about all that in the days ahead here. Let me get ready to say goodbye to you and say I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us. What kind of Christmas plans do you have here? What you and the family got going on here for the next few days?
Doing a lot of Christmas parties. The neighborhood Christmas party, we have one of those white elephant gift exchanges.
Is
coming up
right?
Tonight where you know, every couple brings a I guess a 3-star, 4-star gift under a certain spending cap. But the other one is just straight garbage, man. I think last year one of the most hilarious presents was we have a lot of young children in our neighborhood, and one of our dear friends, her house somehow seems to be kind of the resting spot or the cool place for a lot of the kids to hang out.
Yeah.
And so this is a funny story. What happens is there's a collection of missing orphan socks that shows up. So one of her presents, she put, along with the good present, she put a present, which was just a box of lost socks, from all the children in the neighborhood. And I actually think my wife, walked away from the gift exchange from our neighborhood Christmas party, with that one last year. So, it is fun. And then we've got another friend, the Christmas party on Saturday. My son's having a basketball game on Saturday as well. I think I'll probably do my Christmas shopping after the basketball game on Saturday, try to get all of that done. Maybe the way, and I've got one message for all those very, very frustrated dads out there who wait until today to start their Christmas shopping. And I'm just going to tell it to you like this. If you want to represent your fan base pretty well, you just got to suck it up, because if Kirby Smart and the Georgia staff can sign up 6 5-stars in 3 days, you can get that Christmas shopping done in 3 days as well.
I think that's a great piece of advice and a nice motivational statement for a lot of our audience who will be out there doing that. I know I've got some of that to do myself here, because it has been a crazy December, and it's coming to a big-time conclusion here for the Georgia Bulldogs. All of it, of course, heading towards the Rose Bowl on January 1st against Oklahoma. Jeff, rest up. We're grateful for you. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, guys, check the intel in 23 minutes, and you're going to have an Easter egg from Jamari Sawyer's commitment video to check out.
Ooh, that'll be nice. That's a great tease right there. We'll definitely check that out. Thanks, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So I had texted Jeff earlier this morning, and I said, hey, I know you're on the show yesterday, but folks could really use you again here today. We want to, A, Friday's your normal day, and, you know, B, there's still some stuff left to take care of. And I said, and listen, don't worry, we don't have to go too long. We can go a little shorter if you want to, because I want to, you know, take – obviously respect for Jeff's time, and I want him to get some rest here at some point in time. And he texted back and says about the notion of we won't have to go too long. He goes, I know what that means, because sure enough, we end up going as long as always. But really good stuff from Jeff Sintel. And, of course, I'm looking forward to having him a part of our coverage from California next week. And before we do the SEC through here, let me remind you that we will have a audio only for you on Monday, podcast only for Christmas Day for Dog Nation Daily. I'm also no video either on Tuesday. And the reason why it's no video on December 26th is I am traveling to California that day. But the good news is, back on the 27th, we will be on video that day. Also back on the radio that day as well. On the 27th, we'll be back on video, and we'll be live from L.A. heading into Pasadena all next week on the day of the game, January 1st. And then the following morning, we'll also do Dog Nation Daily Live from Pasadena again, as kind of a, you know, a look back on what we hope is a Georgia victory over Oklahoma. So a lot of that coming up next week. It's going to be a lot of fun as Dog Nation Daily hits the road and heads out to L.A. for the Rose Bowl. So that's a little update on the schedule on that. I'll also remind you the Dog Nation Daily is brought to you in part by our friends at ATL Next. A new ATL starts now. ATL Next is Hartsfield-Jackson's development program that consists of a series of projects over the next 20 years. Learn more about roadway impacts and nightly closures at next.atl.com. All right, some SEC stories to get to. A lot of this is going to be involving recruiting. I saw where Tennessee got a nice recruiting win. Another blow, if you will, to Alabama. The nation's number one junior college tight end, Dominic Wood Anderson. This is a guy that Alabama had been recruiting for a while. Ends up choosing Tennessee. I think that's an example of a big win for Pruitt. And it's an example of what we said about here before, is that Pruitt's going to be good at kind of, you know, causing a little bit of a ruckus here and there. Can he put a full class together? That remains to be seen. That's more about your organizational skills. That's more about, you know, how well you run the program, more so than just your personal relationships. But Pruitt's got some strong relationships, and he takes a player here that Alabama would have liked to have gotten in Dominic Wood Anderson. So kind of a interesting situation where maybe Tennessee was able to prioritize Wood Anderson in a way that Alabama just wasn't. But no doubt about it, it's a pretty big pickup here for Tennessee. Tennessee also gets its quarterback, JT Shroud. I thought Shroud had kind of an interesting quote to SECCountry.com a few days ago, where he talked about how, you know, he's a big believer in himself. He thinks that he's got as much reason to be confident in himself as any quarterback in the country. I thought I had the quote here, but I pulled up the wrong story. So nonetheless, JT Shroud feeling very good about his future there at Tennessee. He's got a quarterback to throw to in Dominic Wood Anderson. By the way, something we got into on AT&T SEC Country Live yesterday, and our buddy Trey Dukes, who's in our comment section both on Dog Nation Daily and on SEC Country Live a lot, he said I was being a snowflake about this, that I was being too sensitive about what Scott Frost had said, but I was kind of bothered by this. And listen, it's not my job to defend Auburn. That's not what I do on either of the two shows. But, you know, we already had the example the other day where Adrian Killens, the UCF running back, was talking about how Auburn had never seen the speed that UCF was going to bring to the table. He said they're UCF fast. He said they don't see that in the SEC, which is just ludicrous. It's idiotic for anybody to say that from UCF, but the SEC, especially when the team that Auburn just played was Georgia. But you've also got Scott Frost, was asked about his handling of the dual jobs here of staying at UCF for one more game and then transitioning as the full-time coach in Nebraska. Was that a distraction? And as a way of defending himself, he talked about how much further along he thought UCF was than Auburn, because Auburn didn't even start practicing until really relatively late in the process. They'd already gotten many practices in before Auburn had even kind of gotten going on this. And, you know, this is probably more of a defense mechanism against his own preparation more so than a shot at Auburn. But when you read the quotes at SECCountry.com, it definitely comes across as a bit of a shot at Auburn. Like, hey, we're way more prepared than they are. In fact, he actually said something to that effect, that we're more prepared than our opponent is because they just started practicing. Who does Scott Frost, the UCF coach, get off thinking he is here? You know, some sort of football genius that knows how to prepare for a bowl game, because he used to be an assistant at Oregon, more so than Gus Malzahn at Auburn, who, you know, Malzahn played for a national championship. Like I said, I'm not defending Malzahn here, but Frost comes across in these quotes, I believe, like a real dope, and I think it actually makes the Peach Bowl game pretty interesting in a couple fronts, that the UCF and, you know, Killens the running back, Frost the coach, maybe sort of feeling itself a little bit on the heels of an undefeated season. And Auburn, which typically might not be motivated for a game like this, maybe they are a little bit more motivated after all of that. All right, a couple more quick recruiting notes to get to. Friday will be a big day for LSU. Five-star wide receiver Terrace Marshall set to make his announcement. This would be, I think there's no doubt about it, the biggest addition to the 2018 class that LSU is going to be able to bring in here. They're not going to sign a quarterback of the future necessarily, but or probably at all, but they could get a big-time wide receiver of the future, and Marshall could make life a little easier for Miles Brennan or Loel Narcisse, the quarterbacks currently on that Tigers roster. Getting Marshall, who I believe they are the favorite to land, that'd be a pretty big get there for LSU. I also thought it was kind of interesting. I saw one note. I guess Florida has not signed a defensive tackle at all yet for its 2018 class. So it goes to show you that Mullen's gotten, you know, some things kind of going there at Florida, but they still got a long way to go if they want to kind of put any kind of class together that's going to rival what Georgia's doing in the SEC East. I think that by what Georgia's kind of done with its 2018 class thus far has been to really put some distance between itself and Florida. With all due respect to new coach Dan Mullen and Emory Jones, I think Georgia's really putting some distance right now between itself and the Gators, and if Florida wants to close that gap at all, it needs to find some defensive tackles here. And I guess it's also probably fair to say, should look to add a big-name wide receiver. Now, Van Jefferson, the transfer from Ole Miss, that's a pretty good pickup for Florida. I won't deny that. But lost the commitment from Jamar Chase, not getting that back. Lost the commitment from Jacob Copeland. Might get that back, probably won't. You know, those are examples of, you know, if Emory Jones wants to be a quarterback like Justin Fields, he's got to have some coattails. He's got to be the kind of Pied Piper that brings other players in that class. And, you know, we'll see between now and February how much of that Emory Jones really can provide Florida, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, we'll close that here with a couple of things. First of all, Gatorator Countdown, just talked about Florida. 309 days from now, I believe that Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gatorator Countdown here on a Dog Nation Daily. Let me also give some congratulations over to Georgia basketball, which has a big recruiting pickup of its own this week. Maybe gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit given everything the football team did. But Georgia goes out and gets a 2019 commit from five-star point guard Ashton Hagans from Newton High School here. I guess Jonas Hayes was the lead recruiter on Hagans, and this is a pretty big addition, I've got to imagine, from the for the Georgia basketball program. I would think this is the biggest recruit that Mark Fox has ever had, bigger even than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So pretty good pickup here with Ashton Hagans, who's a point guard, and it's a nice addition for Georgia basketball. We are podcast only Monday and Tuesday. We'll talk to you live again on Wednesday from California, getting ready for the Rose Bowl. Merry Christmas, everybody.